Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the AfridaLove.com show where Jesus shines with love. I'm your host this afternoon, Dr. Afrida Love. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I am so excited and delighted that you have decided to listen to this particular ministry at this particular time. I know that it's very odd for us to have a show, a ministry, during this particular time, but this is a great time to listen and celebrate poetic lyrics within the atmosphere. And so on today, we're going to read Psalm 136, Numbers 1 through 9. Then we're going to have our prayer. And then I want you to meet the greatest poet in Seattle, Washington. Amen. Amen. So we're going to read Psalm 136, Numbers 1 through 9. And it reads, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night, his love endures forever." I have read to you Psalm 136, Numbers 1 through 9. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, the doers, and the seekers of his holy word. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for blessing us as we were able to wake up this morning and you started us on our way. We thank you for giving us a reasonable portion of our health and strength. And we ask that this particular ministry be something that is acceptable and pleasing in your sight. We thank you for all of the listeners who are on the line. We thank you for those who will listen at a later time. We ask that you continue to increase your anointing, increase your revelation and your gift. And we thank you for the opportunity and the platform to be able to share experiences with others from all over the world. Now, Lord, as we relinquish this particular prayer, we ask that we never be relinquished out of your sight. This is one of your servants' prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And without further ado, I would like to introduce to you one of the greatest poets in Seattle, Washington. This poet's name is Mrs. Theodora Yeldell Mays, who was born in Reading, Pennsylvania, in the late 1950s. She was the third of six children. She grew up in a religious, which is a plus, a religious home, with her father being a minister and her mother a God-fearing Christian woman. Theodora learned early in life the importance, it's very important, to love God and her fellow man and the joy in thanking and praising God. That's a poem right there. In the third grade, her English teacher, this goes back to teaching, that's why it's so important, had the class to pick a theme from a list of titles provided, and they were instructed to write a poem about it. And Theodore chose a title entitled, Ooh, Summer is a Fun Time. How many of y'all agree summer's a fun time? Yes, yes, yes. As Theodore matured, she continues her love for expressing her thoughts through her poetry writing. Then she began to get into the songwriting and short story writings and plays and things of that nature. So on May the 7th, one day before her 61st birthday, she submitted an award-winning poem, and it was published for submission for her first book. And a few weeks later, after this, she was filled with joy, and her manuscript was accepted and published. Her first upcoming book is entitled Read My Mind and See My Thoughts. Wow, that's something that I want to read. And it's scheduled to be out around the spring of this year. She's compiled a collection of over 30 poems, wow, in this book for you to be able to read her mind and see her thoughts. And because of her love of God and upbringing and all of her poems, she says that God has a special touch within them. And her first poem she wrote in the third grade is also contained in this book. Isn't that something, educators? Her teacher inspired her poetry, and this particular poem will be found in the book that she's going to tell us about. And then she gives us the website, and she's going to expand on that a little bit later. It's www.esty.com, and type in Theodora Thoughts in the search engine, and you can order your copy for yourself. So without further ado, I would like to introduce to some and present to others Mrs. Theodora Yeldell Mays. Ms. Mays, are you on the line?
Yes, Alfreda, I'm right here.
All right.
Thank you.
Ms. Mays, do you mind if I ask you a few questions about your poetic gift?
Oh, please do. Please do.
All right. Ms. Mays, tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, you covered quite a bit. One of the most interesting things I think about myself is my name. When my parents, I had two girls, my older sisters, before me, they just knew the next one was going to be a boy. So they was all ready with the name. And my dad's name was Theodore Roosevelt Yeldell. So they was ready with Theodore Roosevelt Yeldell Jr. So here I popped out, a girl. So they decided they was going to name me the closest thing to that name that they could come up with, and they did. So that's how I became Theodora Rosita Yeldell. And as you were saying, I did have a very happy religious upbringing with, you know, parents who were in the Lord, and so I got a lot of good guidance in direction and, you know, my spiritual realm in life. And one thing I'm happy to say, I'm a lifetime member of the United House of Prayer for All People, and I've gotten a lot of my spiritual foundation in the faith that I was born in and continue in to this day. And let's see, what else? I love people person. I'm a very outgoing person, and I love keeping active and, you know, doing positive things, and I love self-improvement. That's why I embrace constructive criticism, because I want to be the best version of myself that I can be, so I can be an even better instrument and vessel for the Lord. Because at the end of the day, you know, He's my everything. Well, that pretty much sums up me.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing. All right. Now, what inspired you to write poetry?
Well, as you mentioned earlier, when I was in the third grade, I remember my teacher had us to write this the poems from these titles that was on the instruction sheet. And I could say I'm an outgoing person. I love happiness and joy and fun. And I picked out, Oh, Summer is a Fun Time. And from that, I just started putting the words together and rhyming them and making the sentence tie in with the rhyme. And it was enjoyable for me. And it just kind of stirred up something within me. And I just, from that experience, just kept developing and growing it until I've actually come to the point when I want to express myself in a situation. I find myself going into poetry and bringing out my ideas and my thoughts in that way. And that's why my book is even called Read My Thoughts. Read My Mind, See My Thoughts.
Excellent. Now, who are your greatest influences in poetry?
Oh, okay. Well, actually, I have a friend of mine who was, she continues to be so influential to me in my poetry writing. She's a great author herself. Matter of fact, she actually wrote a book, and she's writing her second book now. She's the person who she kickstarted me one day. She was reading, I was reciting some of my poems to her, and she was like, "Dora, you know, that was good, but," she said, "that's surface." She said, "there's more inside of you that you're not bringing out." So she gave me an assignment herself. She told me she wanted me to dig deep within myself. She gave me 3 days to pull out something that was deeper that I have not been bringing forth. So I got on my little mission she put me on, and I did it. And from that came out a poem. It's in my book also. It's titled What's Her Name? And that poem blows people away. Blows people away. My friend, her name is Trina. Trina Brigham. And she even has a website herself. And one thing, Alfred, I meant to mention earlier for your listeners, during our conversation, I'm going to be giving some information that they may want to jot down. So if people want to grab a pen and paper to be able to capture this during the conversation, that would be great. Because my friend Trina, I wanted y'all to take a look even at her website. She has out, oh, my God, this girl is so powerful. She is so deep. I'm proud of her. I am immensely proud of her. But she has a website. It's www.realnessspeaks.com. Realnessspeaks.com. And the name of her book to be ordered on her website is A Sister, A Poet, A Spiritual Spoken Word. And when y'all take a look at what this girl is working with, you'll see what I'm talking about. She's phenomenal. She really is. But, yeah, she's been a great, great, great influence in my life, and she's the one that got me on the path to getting with the book publishing company that I'm with, who's in the process of publishing this, my first book. And, I just have a lot of esteem and respect for her. She's a fabulous young lady, and she's been definitely a great influence in my life and my poetry writing, and a great support to me.
That's great. And I was actually jotting down www.realnessspeaks.com. Excellent.
Yes,
www.realnessspeaks.com. And her name is Miss Trina Brigham. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, great. I have that. All right. Now, would you like to share some of your poetry with the listeners?
Oh, yeah, that would be nice. Sure. Let's see. Actually, I have one that a lot of my friends and people that hear this, they really kind of rave over it. I guess a lot of people can relate to it. But one day I was doing something on the computer, and all of a sudden I got these words started flowing in my brain. I had to literally stop what I was doing, open up a brand new page, and I had to go to writing. My little fingers were just tight to tight. I feel like John and Al Palmas or something. I mean, it was just coming to me like that. And so this is what came from this. This poem is one of my books. This is called Got Strength, like Got Milk, but Got Strength.
Amen.
Pain seems so unbearable. Your mind, soul, your body exhausted and entangled with fear. You just want this nightmare to be over with, including the smirks, rude comments, and the eye-piercing stare. You feel like your very health is failing you. You're so overwhelmed, very deeply grasping for air. You don't want people to know your secrets. You make a conscious effort to keep smiling, being careful not to show a tear. It seems like everyone else is happy and prospering, which makes your situation seem to be just not fair. When you felt like you exhausted all your help and resources, little did you know God was watching, even when you couldn't feel his care. It was during your hardest times that God was still blessing you and had defending angels looming near. He had to show you. He gave you what you asked him for when you said, Lord, give me strength in your prayer. Anyway, it goes on with the struggles and the pains or the hardships or the things that, you know, people have experienced and go through, and even brings in things about Jesus and Job, and anyways, ends on a really high note of how God comes through and rewards you. You know, it's just, it makes the pain just go away. But, yeah, a lot of my friends that I read, they say, oh, that was me. That is me. And even some of my friends said, oh, my God, it relates right to somebody I know that's going through some struggles. And so, you know, I feel good in that it's something that can reach, touch, and help someone. At the end of the day, that's really what it's all about.
That's right. And with that particular poem, just the words that you used have strong emotions in there. We talk about the pain and we talk about different things, but then you bring it back to perspective that God sees your pain and he knows your pain, and because of that, you can come through it.
Yes, exactly, exactly. But it's a very powerful ending, very powerful ending. But one thing, Elfrida, I know you mentioned my website, SD.com, but I want people to scratch that. I decided to do it a different way. If anyone's interested in reading the rest of the story, just email me. Better just email me, and that would be to Theodora's Business Website at gmail.com. And that's spelled lowercase T as in Tom, H E O D like David, O R A S as in Sam, plural, Fedora's Business, B U S I N E S S, website at gmail.com. Just put in the subject line.
Give us that website one more time, please.
Fedora's website. Excuse me, Fedora's Business Website at gmail.com. C-H-E-O-D like David, O-R-A-S like Sam. Website, W-B-S-I-T-E at gmail.com.
Thank you.
Slash the SD Fedora's thoughts. I ended up taking that.
Yes, and the website that I gave, she's no longer using that website. So the website that she just gave, starting with lowercase Theodora, is the correct website.
Theodora, with an S, yeah. Cool. Theodora's Business Website at yahoo.com. I mean, gmail.com, so sorry. Gmail. I have a couple websites, I'm sorry. Frida.
Is there another poem that you would like to share?
Yes, I have one that's kind of dear to my heart that I like because it deals with children. I love children. And this one, I guess my inspiration in writing poetry, it actually comes from a particular situation or circumstance, something I happen to see, or like I said earlier, if I want to express something, I'm better expressing through my poetry than to just come right out and talk to somebody about it. But this particular poem is called What I'll Be Like When I'm Grown. And this one was inspired, I was inspired to write this one. One day, some years ago, I lived in San Francisco, and I was on my way to work early in the morning. And I just happened to look, I'd gotten off the bus, was walking up, you know, my long hall back up the street to get to the job, and I saw this man get out of his car and go around the other side, and I was unstrapping his baby from a car seat. And my mind, I said, oh, my God, what is that poor child going through this morning? Because I knew the struggle was for me to get up early in the morning. And I don't know, for some reason, I immediately put myself in the character, I guess, of that child, of the baby, and wondered what that child went through getting up early in the morning. And that's when I came up with this poem called What Will I Be Like When I'm Grown? And this is one of the poems that's also in my upcoming book. But you can also, I can send you a copy of this to order a copy. Matter of fact, I have a little special I'm going for people that want to order that are your radio listeners.
Okay.
This one is titled, What Will I Be Like When I'm Grown? Before the break of dawn, so early in the morn, I feel a touch, a tender kiss. I hear a noise, they call, an alarm. My warm blanket's hurriedly pulled back. I feel a gentle pat. I yawn, I stretch my body. Then I curl up like a cat. I lift it from out of my crib. Wide, sleepy kid. I'm quickly fed, just so fast, food spills all over my bib. I'm hauled out into the streets, strapped into a bulky car seat. I feel knocked, jerked, and bust. My little body already feels beat. We're suddenly not moving no more. A strange woman comes to the door. I'm lifted up, handed out. I cry so hard, my eyes become sore. I finally settle down. Other babies all around. I feel all alone like a puppy who's been dropped off at a dog pound. Anyways, it goes on with the child's experience during the day with the sitter and the children, and it brings the part when the mom comes back to get the child, and the child's reaction, you know, going back home. And anyways, it's just different, giving a different perspective of how a child, an infant, what could possibly be going through the mind of an infant. And just a different turn. And it's not taking away anything from, you know, mothers these days and times they have to get out and do what they got to do to survive, but it just gives a spin on how this could affect the child. Yeah, that's one that's near and dear to my heart. I love children.
Poem, and I was thinking with all those sound effects and emotions, children would really love, you know, teachers could really use that poem within classrooms to allow students to feel emotions in poetry, to think about personification and how you said you curled up like a cat. I mean, those are all great things in which children nowadays need to understand about poetry and pose and understand the reading aspect of poetry, because poetry is actually lyrics as well. So you can make it into a song. So that's interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I used to be a children's Sunday school teacher in the House of Prayer when we was in San Francisco. And boy, do I have a slew of children's songs. Black Native children, they're able to retain things when you put little music, lyrics, and tunes to it. They'll catch things. And, yeah, done a lot of that. And it's really interesting that you mentioned that, because I was really blessed to have gotten I know how it happened. I was doing a poetry thing. I'm in Seattle, Washington now. And I was doing a poetry reading. Just got out the box and decided I was going to do this. Some of my books, after I first got it submitted to the publishers. And so I got one of the rooms reserved, and I had little flyers I sent out, let people come down, and I was going to be reciting, you know, some of my poems, and some of the ones you heard today, I did them, but in their fullness. And this lady and this gentleman, they were finishing up whatever they were doing in the room, you know, prior to my appointment time. And so when they finished getting all their things up, I said, y'all want to stay and to support me? I'm doing a poetry reading. And they were so glad to stay. And I said, sure. I can't stay too long, but we'll stay. And so come to find out that there were people in the education field. And we made a connection, and we were supposed to be doing something to with my poetry experience and helping the children. I think the gentleman's son works in the school district. And I did get a chance to recite the poem about the baby, What Would I Be Like When I'm Grown, before a classroom, I think of third, fourth graders. And they ate it up. They told me, they said, I never thought of it in that aspect. You know, thinking of in the mind of a baby. And there was just good feedback from the children. I got the little children. You know, they are undergrowth. They are our today, our tomorrow, you know. This is just such valuable commodities, if you want to call it, or just valuable creations, you know, in the world, in life. And how we nurture them, you know, is very important. It should be taken very seriously.
Audience, what message or theme that you would really like to convey within your poems? Like, what is the main message within your poems? We know about faith and God, but what message would you want readers to understand?
Okay. Well, I think it would depend upon whatever that subject or title is. Like the one, God's Strength. I want to be able to convey to a person that they prayed for strength, but the only way you're going to know that you have it is that you have to have a situation where it's going to require you to use strength. Because strength is nothing you can touch, see, or feel. You just have to be able to experience it. And the one, What Would I Be Like When I'm Grown? The message that is to kind of think about our children and what and who they're getting their teaching from, their instruction. Because their main source of nourishment should come from a strong, solid, what's a good word for it, nurturing person in the home, and that specifically being the parents. So the parents, you know, have to have their head on straight in order to be able to lead the children. You know, very important. You know, I have lots of little bonds. My God. I think it's all on top of my head. But usually my titles, I have one called God Has Feelings Too. Uh-huh. So the message from that is for people to realize that the way we're treated, the way we treat people, think about the way you treat God.
That's right.
And realize that God has feelings too. A lot of people love that poem.
Oh, yeah.
So pretty much whatever my title is, that is the message. I mean, it's like it's not one generic thought process. It depends upon, I can say, what title, subject the poem is about.
Right,
that makes
it all, the main source is God.
Yeah. You know, I looked at that one day. I said, you know, all my poems have something to do with God, but I guess because he's in people, what thing is going to come out? So, and I am not ashamed of it. I am pleased. I am proud and grateful because I tell you, I love me some God.
That's right. That's right. That's the main
I
soul.
Love me
That's
God. Right.
Uh-huh. All right.
Lord.
All right. So,
everything.
That's right. Amen. Now, is there anything else you would like to share that has not been shared about your poetry or anything you want the audience to know at this time?
Let me see. I think we pretty much covered everything that I can think of. But if people want to stay tuned, if they can, I can say access that website, Fedora's business website at gmail.com. I'll be able to keep them informed, you know, when the book will be coming out, because there really are some pretty amazing poems in there that are very inspirational. And one thing too, Frida, I have a dream, a vision. I really want to see, one day be able to see my poems blown up. You know how you go in like a doctor's office or like you say, schools or something, and especially waiting rooms. You know, you have somebody, you know, look at something to read, you know, do something for you. I would love to see my writings, you know, in businesses, on the walls, in a beautiful frame. You know, matter of fact, I have one of my friends in North Carolina, I'm going to throw her name out there, Rosa Maxwell. She's a childhood friend, and we accidentally met up again together one time I was visiting back home. And I was letting her read some of my poems I had in a binder, and she saw that one about God has feelings too. And she's a very religious young lady herself too, and boy, she went off on a poem, and she wanted me to send it to her, and when it blown up, I think 28x38 or something, and she was gonna put it in her church as a gift. It was around Christmas time. They give gifts of things to the church, she said, instead of, you know, gifts to one another, which I think is a beautiful idea. So she was gonna get it framed and put it in, and I sent it to her, you know, for the nominal cost and stuff. And so yeah. Something like that. That would really love to see. And I just regret my mother is not living. She passed away 4 years ago now. But that was a dream in my life for my mom to be able to see my name in writing before she left this world. But the thing that consoles me is my mother was proud of me. She always told me she's proud of me. So I thank God for her. My mom was truly my head cheerleader, I tell you. And one other thing, let me share this too, Frida. You was talking about mentioning my upcoming upbringing. You made me think about something. When I was a little girl, I used to come home from school, and depending on what holiday was coming up, especially Mother's Day, Father's Day, I would write little plays for my sister and brothers. We put on a play for my mom and them. But Mother's Day, you know, I had little chairs out in the living room. They would sit, and I had a little makeshift curtain. And we would put on a play for them and stuff. So I was writing plays and short stories, all kind of stuff from early age. I love writing. Writing excites me. Yeah, it's my passion.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Wow. Well, Ms. Mays, I really appreciate you taking out your busy schedule, taking out time to connect with me on AfritaLove.com. Be sure to let your friends know about this particular ministry. And anytime you have any type of projects or poems coming out, just feel free to come back on the ministry. And may God bless you and your family and all the endeavors that you encounter.
Oh, thank you, Alfreda. But Alfreda, I want you to know that I really feel so humbled and so honored to even be on your radio show. And I just thank you for inviting me and giving me the opportunity to be able to share some of my thoughts and my ideas and my feelings with other people, you know, in the world and other Christians. And I think it's a beautiful, beautiful ministry you have going on, and I just thank God for you. And I just thank him for allowing our paths to cross and you to be able to touch my life. I thank God for you. And
thank you for this great opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, and you have a blessed afternoon.
Thank you so much. God bless you too, Dallas. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Miss Theodora Mays. She is out of Seattle, Washington, and she was making reference to San Francisco, California, and that's also where my mother is from. Amen. So I want you to be sure to check out her website. Be sure to listen again to this particular recording because she gave you all of her information. She gave you some of the poems, so be sure to support her poetry. You know, I was thinking as she was reading her poems, these particular poems can be utilized in schools. We were talking about multicultural education, and part of that multicultural education is having different poems from the perspective and lens of different individuals around the world. We're speaking about people of color, people of the Asian, Latino. Children need to be exposed to that. And so that's another reason to listen to this ministry, because I have people from all over the world, Canada, Australia, Texas, California, all over the world who share their gifts, whether it's poetry, whether it's writing, whether it's music, whether it's ministry, whatever it is, they share their gifts. And we have a lot of individuals on the line, so be sure to connect with Ms. Mays and be sure that you support her works. And if you're in the Seattle area and there's a workshop, then she may be at the workshop, and therefore you can hear her in person as well. All right? So be sure to connect with Ms. Theodora Yildel Mays. All right? Okay. Now, we're going to go ahead and move to our next section, and we are going to continue to celebrate Black History Month. Now, we studied Maya Angelou, and we had an excerpt on Black teachers, and we're going to continue that. And it's not just Black teachers, it's minority teachers, having minority teachers within the school structure, because that's what students need. They need to have a diversified teaching staff within that particular culture. It needs to be diverse. We're going to continue to have discussions on that and how we can help schools and how our curriculum can be introduced to different needs for publication. That's another thing. That's why I'm connecting with individuals. But we're going to listen to an excerpt from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And one of these excerpts is from I Have a Dream. Okay? And this is actually a minute and 18 seconds. It's part of his speech. And what I want you to do is I want you to write down on that same sheet of paper some of the highlights of this speech. Now, I remember listening to this speech as a child. This is a very popular speech. It's often rehearsed during Black History Month for different events. It's a great speech. Dr. Martin Luther King is like the president, okay? The Civil Rights President, that's what I call him. That's my nickname, the Civil Rights President. And so, in looking at I Have a Dream, I always, one of the things that I implement within my program is to have the students think about this particular message, I Have a Dream, and what is your dream? And this dream has to be deeply rooted, because if it's not, you will allow anyone, any negativity, to pluck it up and kill it. It'll die. And so how do you keep the dream alive? Pastor Dr. Martin Luther King passed away, but his legacy still lives. It's still viable. People are still, you know, thinking about his dream. I was working with some students a couple of days ago and a couple of weeks ago, and they say, you know, what is your dream? And every time they think about dream, they think about Dr. Martin Luther King. And so I tell young people, I say it's very important. It doesn't matter what color they are. It doesn't matter where they come from. They know Dr. Martin Luther King because he left a legacy. He's gone, but his legacy remains. So, you know, while growing up, God has blessed the family where we were able to go to Atlanta, you know, while I was in high school, to Atlanta while I was an adult, and able to see the different structures and see the growth. And I continuously say that that particular Martin Luther King Center is going to just be phenomenal pretty soon. And it's already phenomenal, but there are going to be some new things that come into that center, some new discoveries, some new historical things that's going to really empower that center where tourists from all over is going to come. And one of the things that I always say is that no matter how we study and celebrate, Dr. Martin Luther King is always in the mix for every single Black History program. Always. His name is either mentioned or something. So he's left a legacy. I can't say enough about what he has done for the Black community, and not only the Black community, but all different colors. He's one person who believes in helping every person. And that's why so many people, if I go to Australia and say, who wrote I Have a Dream, they will know it was Dr. Martin Luther King. If I go to Japan, who is Dr. Martin Luther King? They know. And so we have to have this universal legacy, and that's what I teach the kids. It has to be universal where we're not just advocating for one particular group. You may be advocating for a disenfranchised group or a group that needs to experience equality, but at the end of the day, it's we are advocating for each and every person, and we want to make sure that everyone is able to be a part of the salad bowl. All right? Okay, so I'm going to let you listen to a minute and 18 seconds of Dr. Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream, and then I'm going to give you some feedback, and I know that many of you will text me or inbox me with your ideas, but I'm going to write down some key phrases, okay? And this is actually the first time that I've ever decided to write down key phrases from the I Have a Dream speech and expound on them. I know that I've written many papers on the I Have a Dream speech and some of his other speeches, but to actually internalize it and actually say, okay, this is what it means at this particular time during this particular century, and this is how it can help our kids. And when I say our kids, I'm talking about every student, no matter where they come from, who they are, what color they are, it doesn't matter. How can this dream help to establish equality within the education system? So we're going to listen to Dr. Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream speech, and this is only some of it, I believe, and I'm going to turn up the volume so you can hear it. This is from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. speech, I Have a Dream.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream. My four little children one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together.
All right. That was part of the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. speech, I Have a Dream. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm a fan of Dr. Martin Luther King. I am a huge fan of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Matter of fact, a couple of years ago, I went to the store and bought up all of his books because I wanted to make sure I had them. And I had the opportunity, as I said before, his daughter, Miss Yolanda, came to University of North Texas. And I tell everybody this story. Right when I got off of work, my family and I, we drove to University of North Texas in the rain. It was pouring down because I had to hear Sister Yolanda King, and she was phenomenal. She's able to speak and act out at the same time, and that would be the last time that I was able to see her because she passed away that May when I was going to go to one of her retreats. But, oh, wow, I was so excited, but fan of the King family. And some of the things that I wrote down is the dream. And the question is, you know, do we allow students to actually dream? Do we allow them to dream? And when we talk about the dream, do we teach like each student has a dream, or do we teach like each student does not have a dream? When we teach, we have to be able to identify, you're going to be a lawyer, you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be a teacher, you're going to be a pediatrician, you're going to be an optometrist, whatever it is, each student in there. You always identify. I tell teachers, when I work with teachers who are going into teaching, I say you always identify each student as a profession. And that's how you set your classroom culture. Every student, you know, instead of saying, what do you like and all these great things, is what do you want to be? Who do you want to be when you grow up? And so students take on those characteristics. Someone may say, I want to be Dr. Martin Luther King. Okay, we're in class. Dr. Martin Luther King, how will you act in class? Those type of expectations. And once students are able to connect and identify who they want to be, they will begin to act like that person and be like that person, but make sure it's a positive role model. Some people want to be like basketball players, right? And so those individuals are energetic. Those individuals know strategy. They work and they practice. And so all of those things can fit into the classroom. But when you go into the classroom, each student, no matter what their challenge is, whether it's discipline, whether it's academics, allow them to identify themselves as somebody. And then they will come around. It may take them longer than some of the other students, but they will come around. He mentioned this nation will rise up. That's great for students. When we talk about personification, when we speak about creative writing, the nation to rise up and live out its true meaning, the nation, this nation's going to rise up. And so it's very important. This is a very important, structure in creative writing, you know, using personification and using those pose, portraying pose, creative writing, the nation will rise up. And so the nation is going to actually rise up. Why? Because you have a dream. When we talk about equality, equality is very important. In education, I talk to teachers who are going into the field of education. One of the things we want to make sure is that each student has the same opportunity. When we talk about opportunity, they may not have the same skill. But if it's open, allow those students to have those same opportunities as other students. Opportunity of learning, opportunity of receiving remediation, opportunity of services, opportunity to learn, opportunity to have great teachers. And that goes with the recruitment process and selecting. We're not just selecting people because we know them and because we're friends. We're selecting them because they have the skill set. We're selecting them because they work well with students. And we're selecting them because they have a passion for what they do. They're there for a purpose, and they're good people. And so when we look at that equality, making sure that it's equal. Likewise, making sure that when we set out for our TEKS and when we review the TEKS and when we review what curriculum base needs to be established within schools, it's very important that we look at the equality to make sure that we're meeting the needs of all students within books. I'm reaching out to the authors, reaching out to the researchers and those individuals who publish for the prospective schools. Make sure that, you know, when you publish, make sure that these books focus on multicultural education. And we're not just saying highlight all of the, you know, here and there throw something in about African-American culture or you know, Japan or Italy or, no, we're not saying that. We're saying make it meaningful, but encompass all the culture so that individuals can connect, so students can connect. So, because sometimes there's an imbalance when we look at the curriculum structure and how it's structured. There's sometimes an imbalance when it's structured for how students learn. Some students learn, you can put a problem in front of them, boom, they have it. Some students, you have to actually, you know, use visuals. Some students learn auditorily. So have those particular types and things where students can learn and have that material, put it in type form, put it in, you know, book form, you know, those particular ways. That's equality of education. When he said the Red Hills of Georgia, he's making a connection. Georgia, you know, he's making a connection in his very descriptive words. You know, when we talk about instruction, you know, this is not only descriptive adjective words, but it's also a connection to where he's from, Georgia, you know. And so children need to be able to connect. When we teach, we need to be able to connect with and understand the various places from which they come from and utilize those as a learning opportunity when we're studying. It could be science, wherever. Just make sure that students have the opportunity to be able to connect and or see a mirror within themselves. Then sit down together as brothers and sisters. Sit down together, that's unity. Anytime that we are looking at decisions for the best interest of our students, the best interest of anyone, we want to make sure that everyone has a voice. We talked about this. Everyone has a voice, and that no one's voice is overlooked or no one's voice is louder than someone else's. One of the things when we talk about voice is that any time that anyone invests their time or their energy somewhere, they have a voice in some of the opportunities. They have a voice in some of the decisions. Make sure that it's not just one voice being heard, and let's make sure that we don't deplete someone's voice or make someone feel like their voice does not matter, because actually it does. And so when we sit down together as a unit, as a team, you know, I tell people when I'm giving professional workshops on teamwork is that we want to make sure that everyone's voice is heard systematically. And no one is any more intelligent than the other, because we all have different perspective, and it's not measurable because we come from so many different experiences. Some people are more creative than others, and some people have, you know, they have more experience than others, but that does not minimize someone else's voice who may not have had those experiences. Then he talks about his four children. Children are always the center. They're always, that's the passion piece. So that's why we make these decisions. That's why we say, you know, each child should have a dream in the classroom. That's why we say this nation will rise up and look at the creativity. That's why we say that education should be equal. That's why we make those connections. That's why we work as a team, because we're doing this for the children. Personally, he was talking about his four children, because he wants them to be judged by their character, not by the color of their skin. That's inequality. When we look at the skin, when we look at the character, who is this person? You know, do you have a relationship? Sister Rita Pearson on yesterday was talking about relationship. You know, she said it's very important to have a relationship with individuals and seek to be, do not seek to be understood, but seek that understanding. We have to be able to understand individuals' perspectives, because people have so many perspectives. There is a lot of perspectives. And one of the things she talked about, you know, be authentic in the classroom with the students. Be very authentic and make sure that we're setting the students up for success and things of that nature. So it's very important. And as we celebrate Black History Month with, you know, different figures from Black history, we're going to highlight how these things, because I have a lot of educators on here, and this also helps me in my workshops, how these particular things really help form the dream for our students within the classroom of the students we serve, or when we go and we conduct workshops, or as professors, or whatever we do, leading, whatever we do, this is what shapes it. And so throughout my radio ministry, I am going to highlight different multicultural figures as well as Asian and other cultures, because students need to know that. Students listen to this ministry, and I want them to know that, yes, Dr. Martin Luther King is like the president of all civil rights. He's like the president, right? But there are some other individuals as well that you need to know about that's not mentioned in the book. And so I'm reaching out to authors. If you're an author, if you're looking for other writers, if you're looking for more history, if you're looking for school experiences, then just email me at emonya_love@yahoo.com because I would love to speak with you about curriculum, and we're working on curriculum in order to make it more culturally responsive where all students will have equality. Because equality is more than just treating students with fairness and respect. Equality has to do with the different curriculum that we select. It has to do with how we teach. It has to do with how we coach, how we lead, it has to do with many other things with equality. So we want to make sure that everyone experiences different opportunities. So we'll be looking at more of Dr. Martin Luther King's work along with other figures. We'll even look at we're going to look at some Native Americans as well, because a lot of Native Americans have also contributed to the civil rights movement. And so I've been reading a couple of books, and I've been learning a lot, which is good. For instance, Miss Sylvia Mendez and her family, they were fighting for desegregation. And so this comes from the Native Americans. And so it's very important that we utilize these particular opportunities to make sure that our students are exposed to as much multicultural, as much Asian, as much knowledge as possible. And that's the real meaning of equality. Equality is not everybody have the books, the same publishers. That's not equality. Equality is what's inside. Remember that I told you in the study, I said, God looks at what's inside. Yeah, God looks at what's inside. It doesn't matter what's on the outside. It doesn't matter that it says the same author, the same title, that this book was published wherever. What matters is the content on the inside. Is it equal for all students, meaning that are students being exposed to more than just one culture? Because they're going to need to know about their own background as well. Okay? And so I know that we celebrate, we talk about Black History Month, we talk about Cinco de Mayo and other things, Christopher Columbus Day and all that. But we're going to start on this particular ministry, because that's going to help my growth as well. We're going to start really looking at education. We're going to start really looking at historical books, and we're going to really look at multicultural education so that we can become better and so that our students can hear some of these individuals and begin to research who these individuals are. It's very important, parents, that you take your students, take your kids to the library, allow them to utilize the books. That's what libraries are for. I wish that I had the data of how many students actually go to their public libraries. One of the things that's really needed is a library in every community, I believe. I did speak to someone about a bookmobile. And a bookmobile, when I was younger, and we would go over to my grandparents' house in the summer, there was a bookmobile that was parked across the street. And this bookmobile had thousands of books, and the bookmobile driver was so nice. And so my family, we would go over to the bookmobile, and we would check out several books, you know, 10 or 12 books. And within those, it was very convenient because it was walking distance. And so I would like to see something come back into the communities, not only in Texas, but all over, because it's very important that our students have these commodities in order to become better at curriculum and understanding what they're doing. Because reading is fun, and reading is fundamental as well. And so these bookmobiles, the problem is that the bookmobiles cost a lot of money. So we have to get grants. We have to write grants. And I'm willing to do that because I'm going to start really investing in education for kids. It doesn't matter what color they are. It doesn't matter where they come from. Because we need to have curriculum. We need to have instructors. We need to have lessons. People need to be able to teach and understand culture in different ways, because people learn in so many different ways. There's not one way. And so we need to be able to connect. And it's very important that multicultural education is within the schools and the structure. That's the only way we're going to close the achievement gap. That's the only way that we're going to help students of any color advance. You know, and no, I have not just started talking about this because this is Black History Month. This has been on my mind for some years now, and I was trying to think of how to filter this vision where individuals can be able to hear it as well as see it, because I'm also going to have some presentations and things. And so this is going to be an ongoing process because I have the opportunity to impact a lot of individuals who are going into the school setting for the first time. And it's very important that we prepare them, whoever it is, when they go in, because they have to have these cultural diverse, opportunities and experiences, whether it's an African-American teacher, whether it's an Asian teacher, whether it's a Hispanic teacher or a Native American, whether it's someone from Japan, Italy. They need to understand that there are multiple ways to teach. And then also when we talk about the testing structure, you know, we look at equality, because some individuals learn in different ways. That goes back to the teaching, because a test is a test. It's just a knowledge. You know, on Bloom's taxonomy, you know, most of those questions are at the knowledge or evaluation level or at the synthesis level, most of those questions. And so it's very important that we teach our students how to synthesize in various ways, how to understand the simplicity of a problem or question in various ways. It's very important. And so in order to do that, you know, God has given us the opportunity where we can speak to those teachers before they get into the classrooms, where we can have more teachers remain in the field of education. And so I thank God for that opportunity to be able to speak with teachers and have teachers, who are going into the field of education and give them various perspectives so that they can use these perspectives to help students become better learners and thinkers. Amen. Amen. So that's what we're going to do with that. And, it's very important, and we're going to continue to focus on Black history and education. All right? All right. Woo, that was a lot, y'all. Man. Okay. Be sure to continue to uplift your family and friends by asking them, telling them to log on to blogtalkradio.com/freetolove. That's blogtalkradio.com/FREDALOVE. So be sure to do that. If you want to check out any of the ministries, just type in www.blogtalkradio.com/freetolove. Then you go to the bottom. You may see some commercials. You may see some things like that. But keep at it. Amen. Because when you go to the bottom, we're going to do it now. Go to blogtalkradio.com/freetolove. All right? And you will see ministry featuring your host, Dr. Avrita Love. Okay. All right. Then you scroll down. You'll see upcoming broadcasts. And you'll see on air. I'm on air right now. You keep scrolling down. You'll see on-demand episodes. Okay. Then you scroll down again. What are your needs and wants from God? You will see those particular, all the shows. Keep scrolling all the way down. Okay, then you'll see some numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, just like on Google, okay? So if you want to see some of the shows, for instance, go to number 9. When you go to number 9, okay, you will, of course, see upcoming broadcasts because we're on air right now, but you will see something entitled Motivation. This happened 10 months ago. You'll see Needs and Wants. You'll see Love's Top 15 Billboard Gospel Artists. You'll see Praying with Love. You'll see all of these. And then you scroll to the bottom. You can go to number 13. And then you can keep going and going and going like the Energizer Battery. I have so many interviews on here with so much knowledge. And these ministries are for anyone. Anyone can listen to them, okay? And so use these particular ministries and shows as learning tools, because it's very effective. They're very effective learning tools for our students and for our parents and everyone else, okay? Our community and everyone else. So be sure to check that out, okay? All right. In addition to that, gospel artists, writers, actors, actress, anyone with a positive message, please email me at emonyya_love@yahoo.com. I would love, love, love to have you on the ministry. Once again, it is emonyya_love@yahoo.com. All right? In addition to that, make sure that you continue. We talked about this. You continue working on your harvest. Whatever your harvest is, you remember that is your harvest. It has your name on it. So continue to work on your harvest. Continue to trust in God. Continue to listen to positive people. Continue to labor. continue to enjoy the abundance of God by remaining focused on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and believing God and trusting God. And remember that we serve a God who is awesome. We serve a God who is powerful. And so in everything that we do, we're going to magnify and glorify who God is, no matter what. And we're going to continue to trust in God. In addition to that, pray for all of your family members. When you do, place them in a line that's on one accord. And be sure to pray for them one by one. And pray for yourself and pray for those you know and those you do not know, because the prayer of the righteous availeth much. So pray for each and every person. In addition to that, get ready for our new website. I'm still working on that new website. I tell you what, these websites, whoo! But I'm working on a new website, so be sure to check that out. In addition to that, as I said before, just make sure that you continue to listen to blogtalkradio.com/freetolove. Remember that if you have an event, a CD release party, make sure that you let me know so that I can put that down on my calendar. We have one in Georgia in April, God's will. So be sure that you send the flyer so that. And so I really appreciate each and every one of you. Remember, the Stellars are coming up in March, God's will. The Stellar Award Show is actually March the 24th at the Orleans Arena in Las Vegas. In Las Vegas for all the dignified people. Las Vegas. And remember that God's will, I will be speaking in Georgia pretty soon. Woo, time is flying. Georgia pretty soon at the National Youth Conference. And then also remember that we have I Am Somebody workshop that's coming up. And so I'm going to have some information about that. But I need to get busy because the time is rolling. And this is already February 13th. Amen. God is blessed, you know, and I'm just losing track of time, amen, because God is keeping me busy. I'm working my harvest. I'm staying focused on God. I'm trusting and believing in God, and it's already February 13th. Hello. How y'all doing? All right, but we're going to continue to trust in God. We're going to continue to depend on God. And remember that work on your harvest. I've said it so many times, I can't say it enough. Remember, we're celebrating Black History Month this month. Remember that we believe in God. And just keep working hard. Just keep working hard and doing what the Lord has asked you to do, and God will see you through. Amen. God will see you through. Trust in God and know that God will see you through. All right. Speaking of finished or through, amen, remember to connect with Miss Theodora Mays. And remember to write down that the Stellars will be in March. And remember to write down I'll be speaking in Georgia at the National Youth Conference. And then I have another conference in Waco, Texas. And so catch some of my teaching seminars. Working with God has blessed me where I can give some seminars to some aspiring teachers. Praise the Lord. Give some lessons to some teachers who are already in the field. And God is just good. And I've lost track of time. Amen. It's already February. And I said this before, too, but God is good. And so if someone asked you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you tell them that love lifts you up because God is love. Till next time, which is tomorrow, God's will, take care of yourselves and each other. This is your host, Dr. Alfreda. Love. And, yes, we have to get our concluding music as well. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed rest of the day, and I will see you on tomorrow, God's will. Goodbye, everybody.